Morning again, friends. Thanks again for joining us on Open Bible Podcast, Forward in Hope's daily devotional. Well, today we're moving into the Old Testament, and if you've got a Bible with you, we're going to turn to the book of Jonah. Now, if this is the first time you're listening to us, what we do is we're just going to read through the first chapter of this book of Jonah, and then we'll just make a few short comments upon it that will be of help and encouragement to us. We have just finished going through the letter to Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians in the New Testament. And if you haven't listened to those, you can go back and find those again. You can listen to these recordings and these podcasts on Spotify. You can just search for Open Bible Podcast by Forward in Hope. Or you can also find them all on our website, forwardinhope.com. So let's turn now to the book of Jonah, and we're going to read the first chapter together. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his friend, to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said, Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And there ends chapter 1. Really, that last verse perhaps really could be better included in chapter 2. However, it's a nice way for us to begin our thoughts, because as we think upon this last statement that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, we're reminded of the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, how he reminded his hearers of this story and this account, and the time frame of which Jonah was in the belly of the fish. And he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. And there he was making reference to his death and resurrection. And so there is a great contrast that can be drawn here between Jonah and the Lord Jesus. Or maybe in a more specific way, we could think of Jonah as a type of the Christian. We can see ourselves in Jonah an awful lot. For you see, within the Christian, there is a battle that goes on. It's a battle between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh would want to go its own way. The spirit would want to seek to be like Christ and to follow the will of God. And this is what we see even in the name of Jonah. And now names in the Bible are often have great meanings associated with them. And the same is true here. The name Jonah means dove. And when you think of dove, you think of the Spirit of God. You think of the baptism of the Lord Jesus, that dove that descended upon him as the Spirit descended upon him. You think of, we look at the second name of Jonah. He was the son of Amittai. And the name Amittai means true. And so there, with Jonah here and his name, we're getting a little indication of something of the spirit of the true. Now, that's a very close to a phrase that the Lord Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit. In John's Gospel, on a number of occasions, he would refer to the Spirit of God as the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. And the Lord Jesus would be telling his disciples that I'm going to leave you. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going back to the Father. But it's better for you that I go, for when I go, I shall send the Spirit of Truth, and he shall be in you, and he shall guide you into all truth. So for us as Christians, we have the Spirit of Truth within us, guiding us. Now, Jonah here was a prophet of God, and I would take it that the Spirit of God was upon Jonah as he went about doing this work of the prophet. Now, Here is a word that comes from the Lord to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Now, Nineveh was not a city of the Jews. Nineveh, of course, was the great city of the Assyrians, and they were a nasty people, very bloodthirsty. And the Lord had used them to bring judgment upon the northern kingdom of Israel. And these were a people who were the enemy. They were Gentiles. But isn't it lovely that the Lord still has a care for them? And he wants Jonah to go to them with a message of repentance, that their wickedness and sin has risen to the nostrils of the Lord, in not a sweet-smelling savour of any kind, but the very opposite. And the Lord is going to bring judgment upon that city. And yet, we often learn in Scripture that whenever there is judgment to be brought, there is always a way of salvation that is provided first. And so the Lord would like Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach to it, to cry against it. Now, that's a lovely thought, isn't it, when we think about it in relation to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is doing that work today in the world, in great cities of our world. And the Spirit of God is striving with men. That's the work of the Spirit of God, as the Lord Jesus tells it. He shall reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so the Spirit of God is active in the world, not just amongst the Lord's people, guiding them into truth and so on, but is active in the world. And there's a very sad verse in Genesis where we read that the Spirit of God shall not always strive with man. And what a sad day it is when God lifts and takes his Spirit away, and there is no more striving with men concerning their souls. And yet here, the Lord is going to strive with Nineveh, and he wants Jonah to go. That's the Spirit-led prophet would go to Nineveh. And would take that message, the message of the Lord, and the Spirit of God would be able to use that message of the Lord to bring conviction in the hearts of these Ninevites. And we will see at the end of this book that they do repent. And the Spirit of God does work in their hearts, and they come to know salvation. However, as we said, Jonah is a little bit of a type of the Christian, where there is this tension within us. We're not just running wholeheartedly according to our own will, according to the flesh. No, we now have the Spirit of God within us. And we are seeking to live according to the Spirit of God. And yet the flesh is still there. The flesh is still there. And Paul would speak about this often, wouldn't he? He would speak about it at the end of Romans chapter 7, about this tension between the flesh and the Spirit, and into chapter 8 of Romans. And this is Jonah. The flesh in Jonah does not want to do what the Spirit would have it do. Does not want to go to Nineveh. And so he decides he's going to go the opposite direction. He's going to flee. And it says here in verse 3 that Jonah was going to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, it was kind of a common view amongst Old Testament Jews that the presence of the Lord was associated with the temple in Jerusalem. That's where God had chosen to place his name. That's where he dwelt. And so the temple in Jerusalem was the place of the presence of God. And by extension, the land of Israel, the place of the presence of God. And so Jonah thought to himself, if I can leave, I'm going to leave the land of Israel. I'm going to go out into the sea. I'm going to go out into the world, into the nations. And I'm going to go as far as I can go. I'm going to get to Tarshish and get away from the presence of the Lord. Well, this chapter is teaching us a lesson that the presence of the Lord is not confined to one place. If Jonah had remembered the prayer of Solomon when the temple was built, he would have understood that. God cannot be contained into a place like a temple. No, God is omniscient. And he's omnipresent and he's omnipotent. And we cannot get away from him. And Jonah sought to get away from the presence of the Lord. Now, how did he do that? Well, he went down to Joppa. And at the end of verse 3, it says he went to go with them. He found some people who were going to Tarshish and he said, I'll go with you. Now, that's the thing, isn't it? We ought to be careful as to who we go with. Who are our companions on the journey? Who are we following? You know, there are those who are moving away from God. And it's sad if we're found in their company, going with them from the presence of the Lord. And that was Jonah. And he went down into the ship. Down, 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 we see there. And we find in verse 5 at the end that he's asleep, fast asleep. No consciousness of what's going on around him. And what's going on around him is that there is this great wind that has come up and a tempest, a mighty tempest in the sea, and the ship is almost at the stage of being broken. And yet Jonah is asleep. And it reminded me of those words of Paul again in Romans chapter 13, where he would exhort his readers to awake out of sleep. Awake out of sleep. You know, it's easy for us as Christians just to get lulled into into sleep spiritually. And we're not aware of the realities that are going on around us in this world. God is dealing with our world. And this book, like many of these Old Testament books, you know, they never lose their touch. And they are just as appropriate for this day as they were in the day they were written, those hundreds of years ago. Just as appropriate for today. And we see in our world today that there is a great wickedness and there is a judgment that is falling upon the world. And this great wind, this great tempest is blowing. And yet, how many Christians are asleep? Let us awake. And these people, they say, you know what a tragedy. It is the sailors, these ungodly sailors who tell Jonah what he ought to be doing. Verse 6, arise and call upon thy God. Pray. You need to be praying for us. You know, that's what we need to be doing, isn't it, in these days? These are days when Christians ought to be praying. Let's get on our knees and let's pray. And let's pray to the one who is the Lord of heaven and earth, as Jonah would declare in verse 9. He would give testimony to who his God was, the maker of heaven and earth, of sea and dry land. He says, he is the one whom I fear. And so Jonah went to pray to him. And now, the end of the chapter, we find there how that they then take Jonah and they throw him overboard into the sea. I wonder if Jonah, again, this was Jonah still trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. And they could have just turned around and gone back, I think. The men tried to do that in verse 12 and verse 13. They tried to turn around and row back again to shore, but they couldn't. Why? Because that wasn't Jonah's heart. Jonah still hadn't learned his lesson yet. He was still trying to get away. He said, throw me overboard. But even there, God was in control. And that's one of the lessons we learn, isn't it, in this whole book, particularly in this first chapter, that God is in control. And we ought to just trust ourselves to him, to follow his word, to be obedient unto him, to walk according to the Spirit of God. For that is the path of blessing. It's not always an easy path. There are things and challenges in it. But if we do that, it's the path of blessing. So let us seek to learn these lessons from Jonah. There's much more in that chapter that we could have thought about, but our time is up for today. And so we just trust that this first chapter of Jonah will be a blessing to you. And thanks again for listening.